Alrighty. Welcome to the February 5th, 2026 OC Parks Commission meeting. To begin our meeting, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Gabbard, will you lead us?
Rise and join in the pledge. At the hand of your heart, begin, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Roll call.
Chair Warren.
Here.
Vice Chair Jones. Commissioner Bowie.
Here.
Commissioner Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen. Commissioner Schauber. Commissioner Gabbard.
Here.
Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on items of public interest that are within the commission's jurisdiction that are not contained in tonight's agenda. And do we have any requests for public comment?
Chair, we have not received any requests for general public comment. However, we've received one for 5C.
Okay. So shall we take that now or shall we wait to 5C?
We can take that when we get to it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. So moving on. Now we move on to the consent calendar. We have two items and they could be both taken with one motion. Okay. Anyone have anything to discuss on the consent calendar or can I get a motion?
I'll move the calendar.
A second.
Okay, you got a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I always forget that part. Okay. Then we're moving on to our discussion items, and we'll be starting with the Crawford Canyon presentation.
Thank you, Chair. So we have a presentation that is going to be given by Tuan Richardson. He is the OC Parks Senior Landscape Architect.
Hello, Commissioners. As a panel, had already listed, I'm the Senior Landscape Architect under Planning and Design Division, and I'll be delighted to present the Crawford Canyon Park Project for you. Just talk about a little history, our design process, public outreach, construction, and final improvements. All right, so the project location is in yellow, and it's in the corner of Crawford Canyon Road and Newport Boulevard, just to give you some orientation. And then this is a quick project background graphic, you know, just to elicit when we searched for the parcel to develop it as a community park back in 2011, going through the developers to come up with a couple options, whether the county takes the lead in building this project or the developer does it. So the option that was chosen in 2019 is that the developer contribute $850,000 for the county to take the lead to build this project. And then just a little bit of the project process, which started in the spring 2018 with this site analysis process, going on to online surveys, where we had a bunch of public comments in getting the desired components within the park design. And as you can see in this image here, this is from our public workshop conducted in 2018 at Foothill High School. And you can see some of the components that was drawn on here are actually in the design. You know, you've got walking trails and sandboxes, swings, play structures, site amenities, site furnishings, landscape areas. And so moving on to the next workshop, it took a couple years, and our consultant took all these components and programmed into a site plan. And then what was chosen was this design, which is we call it a back to nature concept. And as you can see, we have the entry area with the parking, and then we have the walking paths, concrete walking paths around, and then this is a dry stream bed or bioswale with a pedestrian footbridge, landscape areas, designated play structure areas for kids, and then most importantly, landscape berms along Newport Boulevard and also Crawford Canyon Road to screen out traffic and road. And also you see some of these inspiration images, right, with the rolling berms, landscape berms, and the native landscaping and the walking paths that's incorporated throughout the design. And then from that, we refined the design, and this slide just really shows the play components that were integrated, and you can see some of the climbing features for kids, natural surfacing. I think this one's called the Wizard's Hideaway, the bee spring structure, walking logs, and then at the bottom you have sort of like a parkour course, you know, for kids for like build mobility with climbing and jumping and all that. And then we have also a pyramid climbing structure, and then a double swings with a bird nest swing. With that, and also integrated within the rubberized surfacing, you see these images here, decorative images that was integrated into the colors of the natural rubberized surfacing. And then in this image, it shows the site furnishings that were proposed, you know, from, benches, trash receptacles, pedestrian foot bridges, drinking fountains, and, you know, not only for children, but for active adults, where we have exercise stations throughout this entire park, where you can do push-ups, you can do chin-ups, and you can work on your abs. And then here, just the quick graphic that shows our environmental phase towards construction, just to show that we commenced the environmental phase back in 2020, and the board finally adopted our CEQA ISM&D in the fall of 2021, and that triggered us to go into design phase, plan specs and estimates, to develop to 100% to pull permits. And then we went to the procurement phase, and finally the board awarded the contract the cost of construction for the amount of $5.8 million. And as you can see from this aerial, it was taken back in 2018. It was a vacant site, and you can see back then it was like a lot of non-native plant materials, and in fact, Public Works utilized the site for stockpiling materials for nearby construction projects. Okay, so this graphic is a little overwhelming, but and just to show you like the heavy lifting that went into building this project, right? So the green shows like the construction activities, and then the gray arrows or chevrons shows the related construction activities related to each construction activity, from rough grading to putting in utilities to irrigation landscaping to putting in the concrete paths, asphalt, site furnishings, and finally project closeout. And then some of this construction progress was captured. And just wanted to kind of quickly go through, this is like the forming of the concrete paths. And then this slide shows the concrete mow curbs that encapsulates or encases the either planting areas, rubberized clay surfacing, or DG walking paths. And then this image shows the building of the bioretention basin. And then this other image shows like the progress of putting in the rubberized clay surfacing and the clay structures for kids. And then other improvements that you'll see here is we have the steel vehicular gate as you enter into the parking. Here's the completed bioretention basin. And then this lower slide shows like the all the components, right, that makes that enhances your walkability and experience as you walk through the park. So the boulders integrated at the walking edges, the site furnishings scattered throughout, the kids' climbing rock, and then, you know, it's anchored with the backdrop of natives. And then this slide shows what I mentioned, the exercise station. I think this is the push-up exercise station here. And in the background, you can see that Wizard Hideaway structure with site furnishings and native landscaping. And then here is our main monumentation as you're coming into the parking, with the stone base on our typical branding. And then here, this shows like the mix of the DG walking paths, the site furnishings, native landscaping, and open lawn area. And here you see the completed natural play area with the swings, the climbing pyramid, the slides, rubberized clay surfacing. And here, this really shows like how the native landscaping took shape. This is the bioswale and also the landscape berm. And it really anchors this experience, right, as the backdrop of the bench and the DG walking paths and the open lawn. And then these are improvements that coincide with the park improvements that OC Public Works perform. And this right here at the corner of Crawford Canyon and Newport Boulevard, they actually redid all the traffic signalization, the signage, the detection loops, bring it up to current Caltrans standards, and also the sidewalk extension along Newport Boulevard, right? New sidewalk and new curb and gutter striping and deceleration lane as you're going into the park, a minor grading on this side. And then here, as you enter the northeast entrance to the park along Crawford Canyon, what's also was utilized or put in was extension of DG paths, concrete walkways, drive aprons, curb and gutter, street striping, and also 7 foot high wrought iron fencing, and also 42 inch high two rail PVC fencing that borders the DG walking paths. And just wanted to illustrate that this entire project is it aligns with our mission to connect the community with natural resources and recreation. And here is our ribbon cutting, and you may recognize a few faces here on November 19th. And that's all I have.
And he's happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Yes, sir. Sure. Question.
How many acres?
2.5.
I'm always curious that the 850 that we asked from the developer, mm-hmm. and how much the delta between that and
it's a little bit of a delta, yes.
Yes. Was that just a change of scope, or was that?
I think that there's multiple reasons. One, change of scope is, we wanted to make sure we had a playground and everything else, the bioswell, all of those things. Time, this amount of money was conceived many years ago. So $850,000 then compared to now is very different, but we have been accruing the interest. This is all paid for by the assessments in this community. So we took the $850,000 plus the assessments to be able to afford this.
So there wasn't really any additional cost to the taxpayer?
No.
Countywide?
Correct. Good question.
Well done.
What would be the annual ongoing maintenance cost?
So those are also taken up by the assessment that is in that area.
So it's an assessment. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Is it in CFD or is it?
It's I can't remember. It's basically it's a landscape assessment that is only in this community, and I don't know what the borders are, but. It's a small amount of money at this point. We used to have a lot of money because then we spent it all here.
It's maintenance district.
But now it's just maintenance. Yeah.
I think North Park.
Yeah, it's kind of
landscape and lighting.
Yes.
Okay. I really like the idea of the design and bringing back nature. Yeah. That was good.
It's really fun. I know that Ray's been there. Have either of you been there?
I'm in the
obviously
photo.
You were there too.
I'm in the photo.
You don't care. Yes, you're right.
I think I just left.
That's why
yes.
We were a cat. We can't recognize
you. That's why I did on purpose.
I need it, yes. But I would recommend going because it's beautiful.
It's well done.
Yeah. You give it?
Yeah. I'm genuinely curious. What was the property used for prior to 2011?
It's really interesting. So it's really just been like this piece of land that's just been sitting there. So. It was owned by the developers, my understanding. Mm-hmm. And so as part of the deal, they said, we the county said, you need to make a park. And they had a choice. They gave us money. And having come from cities, all of you, most of you, it's usually not enough. So if you have the developer do it, it usually ends up costing them more than they think it's going to. If they give the money to the city or to us as a county, because there is no city right here, it's an unincorporated area, then this is how it happens.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I'll concur with Commissioner Bowie that I like the natural landscape of it. A lot of parks you see these days maximize like every inch of the footprint for accommodations, and it's nice every now and then to see nature in a park.
And some open space.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. Really well done.
Okay. Any other comments?
Thank you for the presentation.
So can I get a motion to receive and file?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we got a first and second. All, any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, we move on to item B, which will be the Orange County General Plan Update presentation.
Thank you very much. So this presentation will be given by Cindy Salazar, OC Public Works Planning Division Manager.
Thank you so much. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to present to you today. My name is Cindy Salazar, Planning Manager at OC Public Works. Here with me is Ashley Rodkin from DeNova Consulting. They are the lead consultants on the project. Also with me is Virginia Gomez, Senior Planner at Public Works. A little bit of the project background. The county launched a comprehensive general plan update in fall of 2023. Again, this is a blueprint for the future. It's a long-range planning document. Most of the county's general plan elements dates back to 2010. Sorry, I struggled with that date, 2010. And the last comprehensive update was in 2005. So typically, general plans are updated every 20 years, so we're due for a comprehensive update. To note, the county zoning code implements the general plan. There will be no changes to any specific plans, plan communities. Again, this is just to bring our general plan up to date, mostly with current state law. So the goals of the general plan is to update the general plan goals and policies, incorporate changes by state law, update language to reflect current plans and projects that have already been approved and implemented in the zoning code, and to reformat the document to be user-friendly. Currently, the document is multiple PDFs, over 300 pages. So we're bringing the general plan up to date to be more user-friendly. Currently, it's about at 150 pages, and it's broken up into different elements in one PDF. The general plan development consists of three things that we've done. We received public input over a variety of public outreach, updated it per state requirements, and included an existing conditions report. All three feed into the updated policies and goals in the general plan. As mentioned, community outreach, this effort started in 2023. Since then, we, at the initiation of the general plan public outreach, we sent out 35,000 postcards to every homeowner and business in unincorporated. We have a dedicated website, a dedicated email, presented to multiple advisory committees. We're here at OC Parks Commission in February of 2024, and also in 2024 included general community meetings in various parts of unincorporated Orange County. During that time, what we've heard are three different, areas, assets, vision, and challenges. One general theme that we heard from the public input is preservation of open space, parks and recreation, and a sense of a community. Again, the vision for a quiet and safe neighborhood and more ways to get around, not only from car, but biking, walking, and transit. And some of the challenges and feedback that we've received is managing growth in addition to infrastructure needs. These is just a quick list of the state law that brings our general plan up to compliance. One of the new elements is the environmental justice element. So I don't know what, from Senate Bill 1000, inclusion of an environmental justice element is required in the general plan. An existing conditions report is part of and complementary of the general plan. What it does is identifies the regulatory framework and includes the maps and tables, and it sets like the background for the general plan. The vision statement overall is nature, open space and recreation, housing choice, public safety and cleanliness, resource preservation, and environmental stewardship. These are the general plan elements or topics covered in the general plan. You can see the cool little icons listed. But overall, the general plan contains these elements. On the left side of the table is existing general plan elements, and on the right side is updated elements. We've combined like resources and recreation to resource management, noise and safety into public safety overall. Again, this is just to bring our general plan up to date and to be more streamlined and combined. The new nomenclature for transportation element is now mobility. Just to note, the housing element will be updated separately, and that is on an 8-year cycle, so it will not be part of this comprehensive update, but will be included for a complete general plan. What we've done is also included a community area typologies. Currently, our general plan map was not parcelized and it was just polygon. So we've taken this opportunity to not only digitize and have parcelized data for the general plan land use map, but also created 4 different community typologies to better represent unincorporated. There will be unincorporated islands, the planned communities, specific plans, rural communities, that would be in the canyons, and then the various open space. The general plan element contains, the content is broken up into goals, policies, and actions. So every element, you'll see a goal, which is, describes the general desired condition of the community. Policies to help guide decision making as the county works to achieve the various goals, and then actionable items. The general plan does not implement any projects, but is used as a guideline. New land use designations and overlays is now included on the general plan land use map. No land use changes and no updates to any specific plans or planned communities. Consistent with the update that we did for the housing element, we created a new mixed-use zoning district. So now this just complements and implements a mixed-use land use designation for consistency with the zoning map. So the next steps, as mentioned, we've been working on this since 2023. In 2024, we took all of the data and now have a draft general plan document that is out for public review. Public review is throughout this month. We do have a virtual workshop next week on February 11th. The information for the virtual workshop can be accessed through the general plan website, the QR code. We do have a working general email listed on there, and also our website includes the general plan document and the existing conditions report. So thank you for the opportunity. Myself, Ashley, is here for any comments or questions.
Thank you. We're having a nice short presentation today. If I leave off, I'm kind of curious. I imagine this would end up being in relation to OC Parks and the general plan, but where does County Parks fall with the Quimby Act?
With the Quimby Act? So
park ratio.
I don't have that answer right now, but I can say that we're pretty good as far as our ratio, our park ratio in Orange County.
Yeah.
And we... Parks has 10% of the county is parkland. So yeah. we're really lucky.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
Just a couple. So, unfortunately for all of us, I have to spend my days thinking about what crazy idea is going to come out of HCB next, as well as the rest of Sacramento. And are the mixed-use zones that you identified, they're not overlays, right? They're actual rezones.
Correct. They're actual rezones. They're actual zoning districts.
Because I'm sure you're aware of the big problem that we're dealing with right now, with everybody creating these housing overlays for all original plans, and the courts wiped them out last month.
Correct.
So, the second piece. Well, I'll come back in a second. let everybody else talk. Sorry.
Will we get updates on the environmental justice element, or would that be brought to the board instead and we have to check in with our supervisors?
So this is our chance right now to be able to give some feedback, but there's also other opportunities to do that. And I would recommend, if that's something that is of your interest, I would go to the meeting.
Okay.
The February, what is it?
11th. February 11th.
Thank you.
And just to, so this is our opportunity here. It's up for public review through the 27th. You can attend the virtual workshop, or you can go online and submit a digital comment or send one to the email. But the environmental justice element is on the website as well, so that is live and you can look at it. And as part of the existing conditions report, we also, there's an environmental justice chapter as well.
Amazing. Thank you.
My question would be, you mentioned that you have done the community outreach postcard, roughly about more around 36,000 postcard. Is that compiled at 4 cities here, which is Rossmore, Trabuco, North Tustin, and Anaheim? Is that correct?
So the postcards went to every unincorporated address for both residential and business.
Okay.
So that was up, that effort was that it was a notice, it looked like a postcard, it was pretty, saying, hey, we're starting this effort, here's our website, here's how you get involved. And then in addition to that, we've done social media, we've done email blasts, we have a contact list that includes planning directors and different groups of different jurisdictions. We've gone to various, I think there was 13 advisory committee meetings that we presented at. We came here to this body as well. And then those four meetings were just selected because they were a range of areas that help encapsulate the different populations.
Okay, I mean, 36,000 postcards sounds a lot, but I'm trying to look at the grand scheme. It's a grand scheme of the entire Orange County. Is it really?
But it's only the unincorporated areas of this effect.
How far in the radius of the incorporated you go out? Like 1 mile radius?
It's just that incorporated residents.
Only the addresses.
I should say addresses. Yeah. So it's not. So for you that are on to the councils, it doesn't affect your city in that same way.
Okay. I understand that. And is it the most people are interested? Is the open space? Is that what it says here?
So the open space is definitely seen as an asset in Orange County. I don't think anyone's surprised. As just mentioned, it's 10% of the land. It is also seen as something people, that it's a value to preserve that open space, to make sure it's protected and accessible.
Okay.
So that's what we got out of the public outreach and what we heard a lot of.
Is that the number one in the survey, open space?
It was up there. I would say no land use changes was very high up there. Preservation of specific lands, and that's actually why we developed a new land use designation for specific lands. It helps make sure that we preserve them. There's already an existing zoning district for that. So we heard a variety of things, but I would say one of the top things we heard was the value people have for this open space and how much they want to preserve it.
Right.
Which is something that we can use actually as when we update our strategic plan for OC Parks, we will then refer back to the general plan to basically reinforce people love what we do and open space is really important. And so that we'll be able to reinforce that by basically referring to the general plan.
Okay.
And you can see that in the vision statements and the introduction of the general plan. It clearly suits one of the top things is the preservation of open space.
Thank you.
John, if I can. Did we identify any county property that's impacted by the transit stops under, what is it, SB 79?
79.
Yeah.
Not through this effort. Okay.
So you're not aware of any property that's going to be impacted by?
Not off the top of my head, but I would like to just double check.
The second thing is, how much of our open space is under conservancy?
Most of it.
Most of it. Because I'm worried about Sacramento coming down and saying, oh, here's 25,000 homes you got to build. Look at all this open space.
Correct. How so about? Because we're under conservation easements, they can't.
Okay.
At this time.
Intelligence world.
It would be extremely difficult for them to do it at this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah. That is. Good questions.
On that note, the total RENA allocation for the unincorporated areas in Orange County is about 10,000, isn't it?
Yes, 10,406.
That's all. Yeah. It's about, yes, 10,000.
Yeah.
I love that you have
that. That
was good.
That is all for now.
They do every 8 years cycle.
But we start on SCAG as well. We start the next cycle October. We start your assignment already.
Okay. And I'll say, when you guys were putting out the information, living in Stanton, kind of bordering the Anaheim Islands in that area, I had seen residents talking about it, posting online for people to go to meetings. Okay. And even my own neighborhood, just a couple doors down, becomes unincorporated. And so I was hearing it from neighbors.
Okay.
So
That's my heart. Yeah. That's great to hear.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
If I could just add more on the minute, I'm taking a look and scan through the environmental justice piece that was added, and I do see only 5 environmental justice communities detail maps, and none happen to fall within District 2. So I'm just curious, if there was any additional maps that were to be added, would that have to be done through the virtual meetings and through public comment?
So let me ask a question. You might know the answer to this, or you might know the answer to this. Is there any unincorporated in D2?
No, not incorporated.
That's why.
So it's only
it has to be unincorporated.
Got it. Okay, understand.
Yeah. And just for your knowledge, this is done through a formula. So there are disadvantaged communities have to hit certain markers.
Right.
There's a process. So the existing condition reports go through how we determine those communities. We call them environmental justice communities. Right. There's a variety of factors that put that community in that, and a good example, Midway City, there's areas in Midway City that are considered environmental justice communities, so we focus certain policies and goals to help encourage environmental justice in those areas.
Right.
So, but there is, and that's described in detail in the existing conditions report, how those communities were developed.
Right, understood. Thank you.
Good question.
And just to add to that, are you guys also taking opportunity zones and other similar mechanisms? I think that's more federal providing.
No, that for that part we are not. So we do, this is a very general plan. So we do have policies and goals that encourage, for example, development of infrastructure in those communities first as we develop the CIP programs. But we don't look at things like opportunity zones and other things, and the actual mechanisms for getting there.
Yeah, and those could change.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because this is going to be a receive and file.
Receive.
So can I get a motion? A second.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
There we go. And then we're going to be moving on to item 3 in or item C. So we have a public comment on that.
Yeah, we do. Jim Foley.
Hello. Jim Foley, Orange County Mountain Biking, Facebook group and associated social media. Just a follow-up comment on the trail subcommittee meeting from December, specifically the trail decommissioning guidelines. Wonderful thing, great work. It's in my community, we realize we can't have trails anywhere, and that's understandable. Same request I kind of made at that meeting, which is we need to have a trail commissioning guideline. We have a trail system that really has not grown, with a few exceptions, in decades, and our user base of mountain bikers, hikers, trail runners has grown. Specifically something that might address unauthorized trails and bringing those into the system so we can use them. We do already, but to actually make them legal trails so that we can maintain them and use them properly. Also, on the resource management plans for the 2 coastal parks, which I'm most familiar with, Laguna and Aliso, there are planned trails there that get better connectivity to other neighborhoods such as Dana Point, Laguna Niguel, other parts of Laguna Beach, and it would be reasonable to consider these planned trails for actual design and bring in the system. And a third thing would be for things that were not considered on the resource management plan, or even where we have an unauthorized trails, which is some new trails that might, again, provide connectivity between the neighborhoods, between parks, so that we can have a more better user experience. So thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And then we have Janine Castiello. She's our OC Parks Planning and Design Manager. And she's going to be providing an update on the actual meeting.
Good evening, Commissioners. Jim Bessler, Planning and Design. The Trail Subcommittee had their first quarter meeting on January 8th, and it included two calendar discussion items. First up, presented an overview of OC Park's forthcoming unauthorized trail decommissioning guidelines. Where staff presented introductions for each section and outlined the proposed subsections, recommended action for this item, which provided feedback for consideration. Lastly, staff presented a 2025 progress overview, which was a presentation recapping trail work completed over this last year. This item was received and filed. The next trail subcommittee meeting is scheduled for Thursday, April 9th, and this concludes the quarter one trail subcommittee meeting update. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Having recently joined, I appreciate the members we have on there. They're very passionate about it. So it was good to be able to sit with them.
It is an interesting question. What is the criteria for whether we maintain a trail or we don't maintain a trail?
So each of our wilderness parks has basically a plan that has been approved. Most of our wilderness parks are in conservation easements. Right. I'm just going to do very high level because we can't go too far into this, obviously, since it's not. Item's on the agenda, but not that item. Okay. We have a lot of restrictions on being able to add more trails. Okay. So a lot of times in some of these areas, because of the conservation easements, if we add a trail, we have to decommission a trail. So it's a very complicated thing, which is one of the reasons we have the trail subcommittee, so we can discuss those.
Thank you.
No, but good question. You guys have good questions tonight. I love this. You're on fire today.
Do we expect that item to come before us in the future?
It will be, but not yet.
So there we go.
Work that's being done right now, and I'm excited that it's going to come to you guys soon.
See, take your questions now, and you'll be ready.
Yep. That's perfect.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Receive and file. So can I get a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay. There we go. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now we're moving over to the OC Park Director's Report.
Okay. I have some exciting things tonight, so this is good. So first I want to talk about all the events that we've been having, and most of you were there at our holiday lights. We had 6,830 people attended the Holiday Lights, and then we had 6,859 visitors attending the Candlelight Walk. So those were over the two weekends at Heritage Hill Historical Park, which is really exciting. We just keep getting more and more people, and it's all over social media, and a lot of holiday photos. So if you got a Christmas card or a holiday card, you might have Heritage Hill in the background. So I thought that was pretty exciting. Last year, so here's some good annual recap of 2025. We had more than 15.1 million visitors to our parks. We opened a new ADA accessible playground at Weider Regional Park. We had 10 new park rangers that joined the team, and we're going to be starting a new academy in coming months, so you'll get to meet them later this year. You all know that our Crawford Canyon Park opened. The OC Parks Junior Ranger program launched last year, and we've already distributed more than 2,900 booklets and nearly 2,000 badges, and that's with very little promotion. So it's gangbusters. Our Sunset Cinema series, which is the movies in the park in 2025, our attendance was over 24,000. The year before, we only had 15,000. So apparently people wanted to go to the movies, but just at our parks, which is pretty exciting. And then our Halloween event, we had 22,000 people. And then I wanted to show you guys something. So I'm going to do show and tell. Can you please pass that along?
Another one.
I mean, we all love this, right? So we have, and we received an NAI award, which is very, very exciting. And this was for our Parks with a Purpose program, and we've all talked about that before. So this is pretty exciting, and it's a very competitive award. And the fact that we are recognized for this and all the good work that we do, it's just exciting. So our team put the award together and just did a really good job. And then lastly, I want to brag about some of our team members.
So we have this program that we do with our internal staff. It's called the Above and Beyond program. And any of our team members can nominate anybody or a team. And this came from our team. And this is for some heroic actions that we had. So we had five of our trails team. So this is our trails maintenance team. They were working on the trails over in Irvine Coast, Shady Canyon Trail area in Irvine. And a visitor came up to them frantic and said, there's someone that needs some assistance. They went and rushed to this person, called 911, administered first aid, CPR, and this person lived because of their fast actions and because of the training that they had just received on how to do this. So it was absolutely amazing, and I wanted to share that with you, that our team from every single level is out there, they're getting trained, they're ready to respond, and the fact that they were able to save someone's life while still maintaining our trails, I think is pretty amazing. So I'm going to be bringing stories like this to you, just
awesome.
To sort of show you. Our team does a lot of Above and Beyond every day. You all see it.
You want to stop pinning them, right?
I try not to hurt them, but yes. So if you're ever on our trails and you start to have a heart attack, hope that someone's working by you, and they will come and they will help you. So that's all I have tonight, but I just wanted to give that to you. And then I will be bringing an update on e-bikes at the next meeting. So it's good. It's good for you guys to know what's going on. And so we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. So you'll see that. That's all I have, unless anybody has questions.
Good job to you and your team. I mean, sounds like you were very bored over the holidays.
Yes, we had nothing to do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I like hearing those success stories. So yeah, keep bringing them. That's great. Okay. Any other questions?
No? I should thank our maintenance. You know, they're doing amazing out there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So thank you for that. That was good report, and after that we're going to move into commissioner comments and reporting. Any commissioners may comment on the agenda or non-agenda matters.
Actually, I had a comment on the item.
Go ahead.
So there's a coming up fishing clinic, right?
Yes.
Which is this Saturday. I think I raised this question to you before, and it doesn't talk about it, but there's some concern in the community that birds are being intertwined with fishing line. As a matter of fact, I think someone put a picture, there was a bird hanging in the tree with a fishing line. And I brought this attention to the supervisor so they could talk to me here.
Yes.
And is there a way to bring the awareness to the public that we do everything we can? The question is, you know, those who are like not supposed to leave those wires hanging, is like, do you catch them? Do you see them? You got to tell them. Because by the time you get to a park ranger or anything, it's like, it's too late. We have to be able to...
Correct. So it's something that we do have. It's always that balance, right? Where the community really loves fishing, but not all people who are using the equipment, like fishing line, are as good as others, right? So what we have done at this park, it's at Mouse Grove Park, we're doing a fishing clinic that's coming up. We do have disposals that are just for the fishing line with signage. And a lot of it is self-policing because our park rangers, you know, they're not babysitting the water line. So I think one of the things that you can do is really help people educate them, is that if you're fishing, that you should be doing this. We do social media outpouring of this, and we have signage and things like that, but it really, the best way is for people to help each other. So if anybody has seen someone fishing, it's like this clinic is actually part of that process.
Perfect.
Which is the people who will be coming to the clinic are going to learn how to properly dispose of their fishing line. Because that's really the biggest issue, is they don't throw away their fishing line and they finish their fishing and they just dump it, and then the poor birds sometimes get entangled in it. And our maintenance team is extremely good at picking that up, and they do it on a regular basis, but they can't catch everything, and they can't catch it at right when it happens, mm-hmm. right? And so having clinics there will then help permeate that awareness of why it's so important to dispose of it appropriately. That not only can they put it in just a trash can, but there's actually disposal units right there at the at the lake edge. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse for them not to do it.
Good. All right. Thank you.
I know we have one at the wharf in the harbor. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is there one on the island side?
Oh, on the island side? You know what? I believe so, but we can make sure.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be us. It would be the Dana Point Harbor Partners. But yes, that's okay. On their side, yeah.
And then also on the other side, closer to Dublin Beach, there's a lot of fishing going on over there.
Yeah.
I think we're in there too.
Yeah.
Because that's all. That's parks.
The one that's on our side, yeah.
Yeah, on the south side.
Yeah. All of our lines are on.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the whole, everything's in there.
Everything's in there. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So we're at commissioner comments now, which if anybody has comments, I'll start with Commissioner Gebhardt.
Well done the holiday season to everyone on the team. You guys did a spectacular job, and we're grateful, so thank you.
Likewise, and the exhibit at the courthouse, even though I wasn't able to attend, I've heard that it went amazing from the supervisor, and very excited to hear about the update on the e-bike policy. So we're looking forward to that for next year.
Thank you.
It was an enjoyable year 2025. Look forward to another great day that what you guys can bring forward.
Thank you.
And you said you were going to something exciting, so we look forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Always something.
Now, I'll echo Commissioner Bowie. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to all the staff. I mean, we made it to 2026. You know, great job and everything you do. I mean, very multifaceted agency. I mean, you wear a lot of hats. But that is the role of community services and parks. So thank you to everyone, and meeting adjourned.
And kudos to this person.